gosh, Ivani, it's been so long.
I know.
Greg, I know you a couple of things jump off.
Greg, the mics are hot and we're recording, so I don't know. Well, and Tim,
it's good to see
Tim's at the back of the room.
Always nice to hear that.
Yeah. Always good to see you.
I don't always hear that.
Reg won't be joining us.
That's what he said.
Plane tickets to Hawaii.
It's the one that's outside.
Hey, we're going to get a presentation.
We want to get some kids in here before we start. Come on, Tim, where are they?
Well, if I had none, I'd
get them here.
If it's just the three of us,
I could make a couple
phone calls. Yes. We ought to just go.
Yeah, me too.
I'm missing.
Reg isn't, apparently.
He's not gone. But there is one problem. These are the only hot mics.
Do you want them to come up here?
Whatever you'd like.
Well, I prefer not to sit above people for a committee meeting like this. I mean, this is different.
Yeah, we can come up.
Yeah.
Him and I out of here before rush hour, would you?
Yeah. Seeing as how you both have to go a ways. Well, either that or after. Although, there's been some days when you've just run over to the airport and it's taken me less time to get home than it was for me to get back up to the school.
And if you just have a meeting from 9 to noon, I can do that.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
They have that too.
Yeah, I have to call them.
Just in case someone gets rowdy.
That won't be happening from this. Quiet.
Okay. We've called the ADF Accountability Subcommittee to order. Okay.
Mr. President, you have Mr. Chairman, you have a relatively light agenda on the A3F School Accountability Committee. If you don't mind, I'll take the lead on these items. Thank you, Mr. President. In October, the board adopted guiding principles to guide the work of the next generation A3F school accountability system. Included in the materials are those principles of agreement, or guiding principles as they're called. There are a number of philosophical agreements, technical agreements, and implementation agreements. I give you these under item one, just by way of background to frame the discussion that staff has had in the intervening months. Included in the implementation agreements was that a coalition of technical and policy stakeholders should be convened to create, evaluate, and refine the methodologies used in the achievement profile to ensure transparency, feedback from the field, and community in compliance with the agreements. To that end, The department working, department staff working with your board staff has convened a group of 12 policy and technical stakeholders. Some of the usual policy suspects representing the field and stakeholders, including Janice Palmer, Ildi Lasko Kerr, Becky Hill, Andrew Morrell, to provide feedback, and also technical advisors that includes, and I apologize, I don't have the full list with me, but Ed Sloat, Joe O'Reilly. We also have representation from a rural school district.
Anna.
I'm sorry?
Annie McCall.
We have representation from a rural school district superintendent, and others who are providing feedback in this committee, and I apologize for not having that full list, but I'll share that with the committee. This group of 12 policy and technical advisors has met three times with Lila Williams and I and other staff of the department and board to discuss the next generation school accountability system. The work that was originally contemplated was that which has to be in place before the next legislative session begins, namely any changes to the statute that would be required in order to move forward. The thought being that with the underlying statutory framework in place, or while that was being pursued at the legislature, that the department could be working on the recommendations for the next framework for school accountability. Specifically, those stakeholders raised the following concerns about issues that should be addressed in the statute. They stressed, and these are things that are echoed in the guiding principle as well. They stress simplification of the statutory framework that would give the board maximum flexibility to develop and manage an A through F system, while also including some statutory recognition of appropriate guiding principles. So right now there are some very specific requirements in statute. They felt the stakeholder group felt that it would be important to give the board extensive flexibility so that you wouldn't have to go back and forth to the legislature constantly to change A through F. This would allow for innovation in A through F. It would allow for piloting and for gathering of other information. Also, the committee suggests that keeping the letter grade for schools in place, but removing the mandatory bell curve. You'll remember that in statute it says an A is a school with that demonstrates excellent performance, a C is average performance, and an F is a failing level of performance. That's been interpreted over the years to mean that from time to time when we rescale, there has to be some type of bell curve. The stakeholders suggested to the department and your staff that instead the board should be allowed to determine specific criteria or expectations for each of the letter grades instead of having that bell curve in statute. And then finally, they suggested that the statute, which currently goes through double letters, be split into two statutes, one for the explanation of the determination of letter grades, and the other half of the statute being put into a new statute that discusses consequences for struggling schools. Right now, the statute for some, when you take a look at it, is here's how we determine letter grades, and the letter grades are some type of punishment for behavior. And I think from the stakeholders' perspective, splitting those into two issues where we can say we want accountability, we want to know what letter grades look like, and the consequences are a separate issue, but we want to focus on supporting our schools so that everyone has an opportunity to be an A was important. Those are the issues that the stakeholders brought forward. I working with the board's lobbyist, have begun to draft some legislation that reflects those recommendations. wanted to talk to the committee about if there were any other recommendations that should be incorporated in that legislative drafting. And then this will also allow the department to further discuss their recommendations for a new accountability system based on those conversations. I know additionally, the department can speak to work that it's already started to do, talking with their ag in vetting some potential proposals for A through F accountability, and Yvonne Metcalf, who's the chief accountability officer, is here to speak to those issues.
Okay. Thank you, President, members of the committee. The accountability advisory group has met several times over the summer. Can you all hear me okay? Over the summer to discuss not so much the actual modeling of what the accountability system might look like, but the areas which were too technical, which were too technical to be written into statute, because as Ms. Thompson alluded to, we do not have the flexibility within the current ARS 15241 to change the way we calculate A through F letter grades to the extent that an A is an excellent school and a C is an average school, giving the impression of a bell curve. However, the AG has not undertaken any recommendations except to identify the ingredients, the bare bones of what would be an annual achievement profile for accountability purposes, and also the ability to identify multiple measures, valid measures of school quality and school performance. At the point that you have legislation in place, and the AG is willing to work with the department and state board staff to help contribute and give feedback on a report. Once that process is complete, we are happy to start modeling some of the discussions that we've been having, some of the innovations that we've been observing through other states. But at this point, Joe O'Reilly, Anna McCauley, Ildi Letoker, Ed Sloat, actually many of the people, almost all the technical advisors that would have been in the focus group are actually very active accountability advisory group members, and this is a group that the department has convened for many years. And so these people are very experienced and are very willing and excited to be able to overhaul ARS 15241. And as new DAS of school improvement, I'd like to go ahead and do the other part as well. Mm-hmm. But that's a separate subcommittee.
It's not that we don't cross-pollinate. So at this moment in time, we really haven't done hardly anything as far as output is concerned. Considerable amount of input, considerable amount of discussion of possibilities and applications, but no real application of data yet. I mean, have we even got the scores back from the area yet?
Not yet.
No, and we would be very cautious about discussing any kind of application of statistical technique before we actually receive our students' data back. However, we have, in terms of output, we have produced and or revised the legislation and identified all the key areas which need to be addressed as soon as possible.
What I would like is I'd like the paper a white paper with those identified, bullet them out, just to walk why, how they impact, which legislative.
For the record, because I was talking away from the microphone, I'd like a white paper basically that defines that work and the association between the issues of, why, how in the legislative process, what 15 ARS 15 paragraphs and sections we're talking about.
Sure, and Mr. President, based on the feedback that we have received from those stakeholders, we have some potential draft legislation that will be circulating to those stakeholders later this week. We wanted to take any consideration from this committee if there were issues to be additionally brought forward before circulating that to stakeholders. The emphasis being that instead of being very prescriptive in statute about 50% of this and 30% of that, it's the recommendation, I think, of staff based on the feedback from stakeholders that we need to have a broad statute that says the board shall adopt an A through F letter grading system for accountability based on a recommendation by the department and approval by the board that takes in into account at a minimum multiple factors, but being clear that the factors that are listed in statute aren't an exhaustive list, but that this board can have the flexibility to make those changes in the future. So I think that you'll see when we bring that recommendation forward, hopefully at the next meeting of this committee, that it'll be a very broad statute that gives maximum flexibility, and then we can talk further about what do the policies need to look like. We can start the conversation about the policies, because once you take out the very prescriptive nature of the statute, the board's going to need to be, this committee will need to contemplate, and the board will need to contemplate policies or procedures or rules for A through F letter grades to make it clear what the expectations are moving forward.
Without knowing exactly what the statutes say, and knowing where, and I don't need you to read it to me.
No, yeah.
Here's the part I think we need. We've been talking about accountability in education for a long, long time. And accountability is incredibly important. I'd like us to take it to that next step, which talks about continuous improvement, mm-hmm. how we can improve it. And for me, and this is philosophical, and I'm the one that's not in K-12, but I've often thought we need to set a standard that says this is a C school. Then you want to move into a B or an A, you do something that moves you up the scale, you get plus points, and if you do minus points, you move into the D and the F, which may allow us 3 years later to increase the standard for the C, and then that will move the entire system. My fear is if we don't base it, many times when we come into these models, and I know the statistician's here, and she can probably walk us through, we always start on kind of the bottom thing, and you work your way up. And I'd prefer we say everybody starts at a C, and then from there you either gain points that moves you up the scale, you lose points moves you down the scale, and it could be based upon any of those things. That will allow us to bring in some individual innovation that individual schools maybe, there may be some points or something you can do for doing something that's truly innovative that may not bear out on one of those scores but is deemed to be a good try. We've got to be willing to test things, try things. Schools have got to feel comfortable trying things to try to move the needle. And if we don't allow for some opportunity for recognition of those innovative things, some of those are going to work and some of those aren't going to work. But the fact that they're trying them is this model of continuous improvement. And if all it is accountability, don't try anything new. Just do what you know will get you the score. And that's not what our system needs. Our system needs to move fully forward by doing things. Now, I don't know how that ties into there, but I would really like to see some way where we take the whole idea, it's still accountability, but we try to improve it. Start with everybody to see, earn your way up, or unfortunately earn your way down, but then we can improve the system as we go. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It's much more of a... It's not a letter grade approach as much as it is an accountability approach. which is what we say we want. With the, I mean, when we first started this, we had failing, let me think if I can remember them all now, excelling, highly performing, performing, underperforming, failing. And then we put in performing plus in the process so that we had another one. And then we did that for almost 5 or 6 years. And then the hue and cry from in the political arena was that, well, we may all understand what those mean, but our parents don't know. And therefore, A to F is how we ended up doing that.
And I'm actually fine with you. I think that's something people feel really good and comfortable with.
Right.
But instead of it being a model where you start at zero and you have to earn your way to some cut score that gets you F, D, C, B, A, we say every school starts at a C. And you're going to earn your way to an A, or unfortunately, you're going to earn your way
down
to a D or an F.
And members, I think that thought process is consistent with some of the philosophical agreements. The philosophical agreements state, you know, all schools must have a opportunity to achieve a status, and also. That we need to have multiple measures of performance that provide information about a school's quality, not just the single set of test scores. So I think that from the perspective of the technical political experts we've had sitting around the table, the thoughts have been that we need room for innovation, both at the board level to develop A through F appropriately, but we need to find ways that that multiple measures can demonstrate that we have truly excellent schools providing instruction that are getting kids to college and career readiness upon graduation. So I think that's consistent. What you've said is very consistent with the agreements that have been adopted.
And for me, and this is where all the statistics would need to come in, but if you set everybody at a C and you got to add an additional 5 points to get a B, an additional 10 points to get an A, and you can earn those points through, here's a wide range of things, could be an improvement in growth, could be where you're currently. I mean, there's all these different things, and all of those statistics come in to give some point level in there. Then every district knows exactly where they are and exactly where they need to go. And then it may not be that they can fix it the first year, but they can begin to build upon that and know where it is. And they'll know what those points are until the C is raised or lowered based upon what the board and the department believe needs to be done on a systems level. Really, that's really trying to elevate the entire system for Arizona, recognizing that within that system are all these little individual LEAs that are trying to make up that entire score. I mean, I'd feel if we were, I mean, looking at our scores and all the stuff I've done nationwide looking at it, I mean, if we were in the top tier, that'd be fundamentally different. But the truth is, if you're an A, if we can get all of our schools to A in the next 10 years, that's still going to put us probably well below where we need to be. And that's not a criticism. It's just we've got to get the bar significantly higher, and we'll do that incrementally by improving the system rather than just dumping it out as a straight. You know, I would love if they could pull up and know I started as a C, and the reason I'm an F is because I lost points here, 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 and here. If I grab one of those and change that around, it may get me to a D. Because then I think it'd become motivational for schools and for districts to know exactly what those are, how those points play out. And clearly it's taking large statistical data and putting it into a single point, 5 points, 10 points. No?
Well, before we get into the what's worth what in terms of the number of points, one of the considerations of the Accountability Advisory Group has been the compensatory model. It's something that the focus group has discussed as well. The idea that if you're lacking in one area, you can make up for it in another. While that does help, that does work for an overall letter grade, it can confuse the reasons why a school may end up in school improvement based on accountability, especially if we take into account multiple measures that are not related to student achievement. For example, parent surveys. A compensatory model that where the accountability system includes parent surveys may identify a school for improvement status. However, there's not really a, well, there are turnaround efforts aimed at parent engagement, but that's not necessarily what we would be prioritizing if proficiency rates were very high, but for some reason parent engagement or parent responses would be low. So the focus group as well as the advisory, the advisory group has been very thoughtful about how we assign letter grades and the idea that an excellent school will be excellent in several areas and there will not be or there can't be the opportunity to be an A school or be an excellent high school with a 40% graduation rate.
Correct, and that's where I say part of that C, mm-hmm. and that's where you have to run your data. Part of that C is the expectation of graduation rate is going to be around here. And if you're above that, you're going to get some points. And if you're below that, you're going to lose some points. But you may be able to make up for it in growth over a given time or over some other thing. So you can compensate, as you talk about, for some of those things. But they'll know outright that, you know, and I don't know what that number is, but statistically we ought to be able to talk about an average school ought to have a graduation rate of whatever that number is. And then higher than that. So then you can pick as a district. If your goal is to try to improve your district and move from a C to a B or a B to an A, you'll look across all of those things and say, we can probably affect that one, and then you'll move towards those. I think what happened right now is we see schools trying to do everything and just hoping something works. And I think if we would become much more focused and research-based, I can move the needle, I can elevate myself by doing well on this project that may help me move, not that I'm going to neglect the other ones, but I can focus and try to move it in there. If we do everything, we do nothing.
Well, that's been one of the arguments about multiple measures, in my mind, because the whole emphasis behind A to F from the very beginning was to do two things. And there are always unintended consequences, but initially it was to define where we were and to demand better academic performance out of our overall system. Those were the two big issues. It was the big legislative issue. It was the political issue push that did that in that whole process. when you get to multiple systems of defining an A, if we move the A to, quote, a multiple system, multiple pieces, okay, and multiple assessments within just the assessment piece, we then make it become, you know, x to the x power rather than something that my real concern is twofold. We've had accountability now, EDF, for what, almost 16 years, not quite. Well, yeah, 2001 was the first time we came out with the excelling, mm-hmm. performing stuff, 2001 or 2002. Anyway, and we really haven't moved the needle very far with accountability, as shown by having finally a statewide assessment that was true and reflective. Easy Merit finally, I mean, Ames got moved each time, and we held the ground on this one, and we said, this is where we truly are, which means that our system became one of getting the grade rather than one of improving the school district-wide results or the school system results, which are the kids. We came more of a dialogue of, well, we're an A school, so we're wonderful. Leave us alone. Or we're a C school on the bottom edge, and we were going into school improvement. Mm-hmm. And yet, out of the school improvement process for the last 15 years, I don't see any improvement or minimal improvement. We haven't put the resources in place to make improvement happen. Mm-hmm. And then we haven't had the wherewithal to stay with it long enough to ensure that it did happen. Both of those things, Lila, what I'm saying is exactly what's happened. So sometime, some way, we have to change. And I'm thinking that JD's got some really good ideas here. In the context, it says everybody's here one way or another, or this is where the vast majority of us are, and then these are things that can take you up, and these are the issues that take you down.
The part for me is we set a standard. I mean, that's what we've done on AZ Merit. We set a standard that we said, here's where we expect our students to be. Mm-hmm. What you would do on this is, here's where we expect our schools to be. Mm-hmm. That's a C. You can go higher, mm-hmm. or you can go lower. That's where the expectations are. So anything that's in above those expectations is great. We're seeing improvement. Anything that's below that, we need to get them to there. And then the realization is, if we're going to move the system forward, be prepared. Every 3 to 5 years, we're going to raise the bar and expect people to meet that, because that will be a true improvement model. Right now, I'm convinced when I hear people talk about accountability in K-12, it's about finding scalps. I just want to know who the failures are, and I want to make sure they don't get any money, and I don't want us wasting any doing it. That has nothing to do with improvement. Nope. Absolutely nothing to do with improvement.
I understand the political ramifications that are involved in one of the areas that's probably the we don't want to ever talk about area in Arizona. But quite frankly, we are letting down a significant portion of our students on the reservations, because we have not addressed that issue and taken accountability and opportunity into that environment and held it there and kept it there. That's happening in other states across this country. Native American groups in Oklahoma and Minnesota and several other places are scoring significantly higher than our state average. So, I mean our entire state average, not our state average or Native American. So some things we are doing, we seem to be caught in a wheel, and I'm like you, I want to break out of this wheel. I want to make people really make a difference. I want this to really make a difference. How many times are we going to get an opportunity to try and do this? No?
See, for me, it moves us away from the bell curve, although I think you may find the bell curve anyway. You set a standard, everybody reaches a standard, moves above or comes below. Mm-hmm. The other way, we take all the data, we run it, and then we have a philosophical question. How many should be A's? How many should be B's? How many should be C's? What number feels about right? How should that look? How should that be? Then the politics all come in that say, well, you can't have 50% of your schools failing. You can't have 50% of your eight. No, we set the bar, and everybody had to meet the bar. You can go above it or below it based upon where that is. I just think it kind of goes a little bit to Michael Crow's discussion in here, a little bit of where we stop talking about cut scores and all that stuff. We start talking about the systems failure, and those schools that are below the C is a systems failure, and that's a reflection of this board, this department, this state, this legislature, parents' commitment. I mean, it's a reflection that we have failed, not that the school has necessarily failed. We've not failed to provide them the ability to be successful so that they can move through, and then recognize we're going to continue to move that forward. It's easy philosophically. I don't know how you draw that up.
It's a whole lot harder when you start trying to put it on the ground. As several of these people over here can tell you, based on and several of the people out there can tell you, of all the meetings that we held trying to figure out how to set up a formula that would work within, with as many options inside the formula as we could to still make it viable and have it mean something when we came out the other end.
Well, that's because we're trying to do the education thing, which make everybody feel good. I mean, I'm with that in there. But my guess is if we had a policy discussion before we ran any data, if we just said the average high school in Arizona should have a graduation rate of
85%.
What? I don't know what that number is. It'd be great to have that discussion, but we should look at that before we run any data, because then we'd be determining and saying, you know, we think, and clearly it can't be 100%, but it can't be 40%.
Right.
Where should that be in there? Then set that, and then you could go to those other ones related to growth measures. You know, if a student comes in underachieving, what would we truly expect a school to be able to do in any given year? Move them a grade? Move them three grades? I mean, when you start talking about it and that thing without looking at it, you'd say, well, geez, that's pretty high expectation on a school to have to do those things.
If you a really, really good school could maybe get a year and a half to two, max.
So now you're saying a good school. Where would you expect an average school to be able to do? Move a student a half a grade?
The state average right now, I think, is 0.6, mm-hmm. 0.65,
yeah,
roughly.
Yeah.
Last names test we have
overall
was around about 0.65, close to 7, but
almost,
not quite.
Yeah,
7.
Not quite, yeah.
So you set it at 0.6? That's where we would expect you to be?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do above that is going to get you some bonus points. Anything below that, you're going to, and then you can begin to make up and see where those things go.
Mm-hmm.
And then allow for then the creativity of, I'll call them extra credit points, for saying we're going to institute some initiative to try to fundamentally change our graduation rate. We recognize it's low. Here's the outline of that stuff. And there's some bonus points for A, recognizing you got an issue there, and 2, willing to look into doing a moving. And if you get it and it moves it, now you've done something really positive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I just have to make a comment, and I don't know if President Miller and members, with some of our transition this past year, actually school improvement, which is now support and innovation, is with actually with Giovanni. And so a lot of this work that we're doing is really looking at it from this perspective of many of the things that you're talking about specifically. And I think that idea, and we've had conversations about it, is being very clear to understand what those standards are. And I like that idea of standards over cut points or levels or something. So just like a student knows, if I am here, this is the work I'm going to have to do to move forward. And then this idea of bonus points and things like that, I think we have to be very clear on what that means, that while you get these, you still have to keep these other things going on too. So, you know, having some strong language around that. But I think it also will support then the work exactly what you're talking about, is how do we help those schools? Because when you see schools from year after year in school improvement and they haven't moved the mark, either we're doing something wrong, and 9 times out of 10, that's what I believe, and we're just not getting them the kind of support that they need. So this would be really beneficial. And I think also then if it's clear, school leaders will understand it, and it'll make sense to the work that they're doing. I mean, I know Mr. Carter would probably, with all the different programs out there, that's going to be very important, sometimes even more than that calculation.
What are those major measures that we currently use?
The major measures that we currently use are proficiency in reading, as well as mathematics, and then relative growth. So the relative growth of your students compared to other students like them statewide.
Statute currently also requires us, and we haven't done it yet because we have this moratorium a couple of years, but to consider the science, performance on the science assessment too. So really it's ultimately performance on the statewide assessment.
Yes, and statute allows for consideration of the English language learner proficiency assessment as well as graduation rates, annual dropout, and annual dropout rate.
Really, persistence and graduation.
That's all an alternative, isn't it?
Yeah.
So see, any of those, we could have a robust conversation about what we would expect a school's number to be on those before we looked at any data. I mean, just
Well, you heard Roger say it this morning when we were talking about adult ed and the fact that he was looking at it from an LEA point of view when he said, we as a district want to capture some of the value in the cohort, graduation cohort, which is used as part of this assessment process, okay, for kids who go on and persist and get a high school equivalency after they've left their four-year, five-year cohort. And that's not happening now. They're not getting, mm-hmm. So it's not part of the system. It's not part of the process. Mm-hmm. So we still have, I think there's three, well, there's probably more than three, but there are a couple really big things that will impact how well we can do exactly what you're talking about. One is, we cannot continue to have the same results with the same, and I'm going to say it out loud, with the same people in the same situation, even though we put more money into it. Even when we go and spend the time, energy, and effort to put together a plan mm-hmm. to improve. If we don't recognize that if you don't change key people in that whole process, it's never going to change. And that's something that isn't part of our school improvement plans, and I think it has to be. We kind of talk about it in the legislation that's
academic receivership
deferred. I mean, it's not really in place or doing, but we kind of talk about it there. But that's the wrong answer in doing it in the first place.
But see, here's where I think what I'm proposing, without really knowing what the thing is, you can then hold people accountable within there. Mm-hmm. If you know what it takes to move it, here's the things you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. I sense right now you just try a little bit of everything and hope at the end of the year when we run the numbers. I mean, I'm always shocked when I see school districts get all nervous when the grade comes out because they don't know what it's going to be. The reality of it is they should have a pretty good idea what it's going to be based upon what they've done. If you know what the test is, or if you know what the standard is, or if you know where those things are and the things you've tried to do to move it.
And Mr. President and members, I think that's really been the cornerstone of the conversations that have been had over the last number of months. We want, as you've eloquently stated, Dr. Wartweiler, to set a standard and then measure against that standard. Are you an excelling district? Are you a failing district? But here's the standard at which we expect everyone to perform, and how are you performing against that standard? Are you very similar to the scale that you've recently adopted for AZ merit? Where do you fall, and what do you need to do as a district? So as you've said, school districts and charter schools, all LEAs can be held accountable. They'll know what they need to do. They'll be able to demonstrate it. And when they aren't able to, they will be able to articulate to their families and the community and the business community why they didn't get there, what resources they might need, or be able to identify what the plan is for next year to improve from where they're at. And if they aren't, if they are consistently falling below that bar, it will also give us opportunities to take a fresh look at not just school improvement, but the whole academic receivership statute. At what point does it become necessary where the state needs to intervene and take over a local education agency and say enough is enough, you have not progressed, you aren't meeting the standard at such a level that we need to take over.
Well, and then that allows us, I mean, for me, the key part is compare to yourself against the standard, not compare yourself against everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because I think whenever we have those statistical things that compare to everybody else's growth, right. What you affect, you may be actually making fairly significant, but you didn't make nearly as much as the top performing schools. So while they continue to move forward, you move further and further behind, not based upon what you did, but based upon what the excelling schools did. That's not the right, that's not the right feel.
Well, the growth side of it, we have addressed that issue.
Okay.
Basically, all kids are their growth rates are compared against the same kid in the same profile, regardless of where they went to school across the state. So from that perspective, we are doing that. Maybe not quite as good as we can, and not as there might be tweaks and turns to it that we need to adjust. But we are looking. Growth isn't Challenge Charter School against Desert Heights. Mine is against all the kids in my third grade group that have the same demographics and experiences and bases for the beginning of the year across the state.
You're still comparing it against somebody else instead of against the standard. Where if you set the standard and said we expected growth to be at 0.6.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting that there isn't a standard first. What I'm saying is that the evaluation towards this, here's the standard, whatever that gets set at. The evaluation of the pools of kids are let's put it in that context, all third graders that are in special ed that have a speech impairment are all run together across the state. And then how did your kids do in your group versus the state? You know what I'm saying? It's currently how that's done. So if you ended up with in your particular environment, you ended up with a 0.7 growth rate for the year, 7/10 of a year's worth of growth, and the statewide average is 0.35, then you know you're doing something really right with your speech kids in third grade.
Members of the committee, Mr. President, being able to parse out data and expectations, not just based on the average for the whole state, but how specific groups are doing at a specific school can help address some of the issues of, schools with a high incidence of low socioeconomic standing or incidence of perhaps it's alternative schools who are serving specific populations.
Like
we've heard all of those things. We don't have to set one standard for growth, but we could say if you have a general population, the expectation is 1 year's worth of growth for these varied populations, there would be other expectations and standards. It just matters. It would just be a matter of how detailed we wanted to get and how complex we wanted the formula. But I think we've heard what direction you're interested in.
We will go to a system that instead of AAVAC schools, we have schools at standard, which would be the C schools, and then we'd have schools at standards plus one, standards plus two. I mean, at standard plus one, or at standard plus two. I mean, I'm not sure how you do that.
I think, Mr. President, you could set the board would be responsible for determining the policy by which you have A through F. So a C would be meeting the standard. A B would be meeting the standard plus. But it would be a policy decision of the board.
That all works in theory, but it doesn't work very well in practice. And the reason it doesn't is that we have had great inflation in everybody's head for 25 years. Nothing in this world is a C anymore. It's a B or an A minus, mm-hmm. and it's really not A minus work. Mm-hmm. And we have contributed to that whole process with the AIMS process and the cut scores that we set for it. And I'm an offender in that process. Okay.
See, well, and that's kind of where I'm coming here. The reality is, if we talk about it as improvement,
right.
You can have all the great inflation you want. Because as soon as everybody's an A,
then you move it.
We're moving the standard,
right?
And people just need to know that going in that and actually that's desired.
Right.
What we'd really like is everybody to get to A, we move it, and everybody starts at C again, right. And we move it,
right.
And then that's really the continuous growth over time.
I agree.
And Mr. Chairman, members, I think that that is an issue that's been that was at the heart of the guiding principles, and also with the stakeholders. As we last year moved forward with the legislation for this timeout phase or moratorium in school accountability, it was the interest of the field and of this board to set up a process by which we could set a new standard, and that schools would have time to understand what that standard was going to be, communicate what that standard was going to be, and then be prepared to discuss what the challenges and the opportunities would be related to that standard setting. So while I agree that there are the issues over years that have gone on with grade inflation, I think we have a unique moment in time where not just the board is saying we want to do something different, but we have all of the field at the table saying that they want to participate that as in that as well. And as I mentioned, in the group of technical experts and policy experts, we have large LEAs and small LEAs, charters, traditional districts. We have teachers. We have alternative. We have the school boards at the table. We have all of the major stakeholders at the table who are very engaged in this process. So I think that in the business community, I think just as with the standard setting for the new assessment, I think the education community is anxious to be at the table and be part of that discussion and also communicate what those opportunities are.
We're prepared to. May I interrupt? President Miller. We're prepared to produce and develop an accountability system and present it to the board, showing that we've taken into consideration all of the drawbacks of the current system, including the relationship with identifying low-performing schools based on what is highly correlated with their socioeconomic status. We understand that there are going to be technical challenges that need to be addressed this time around, and we'll take the opportunity to do so when we are ready to present a model. But that model and things like raising the standard, but also ensuring that we can adhere to the philosophical agreements and that every school really does have an opportunity to be an A. Those are things that we can do. We're studying it in other states so that everyone can have the opportunity to be an A, but that an A is truly meaningful.
Right. So the socioeconomic side, I mean, I'm just thinking back to my years in the classroom. You have all these assignments that go in to determine what a grade is, and some of those end up being weighted. Well, maybe if your socioeconomic of your school is such, maybe this grade gets weighted a little bit that makes it something. I mean, statistically, we can lay all of that stuff out, and you can get it so that it all feels about right. And so then you're getting a true thing. And the beauty of this, they actually may end up on the same scale instead of always trying to go and adjust, well, this is for this school and this is for this school. And there's really, and the first question is, are those comparable? And we always say, well, no, well, they should be. No, we've got weighted things. We weight this based upon your socioeconomic background on this assessment because we recognize that has a huge indication or influence upon that.
Mr. Chairman, I think you've given, the committee's given a great deal of direction and input, and in the approaching an hour, and I had told you all we'd be about an hour, so I just want to help you
along. The one thing I would this is going to take multiple iterations before we ever bring it to the board. It's going to have to go through this system multiple times, and ultimately in that process, I want all those stakeholders that have been in the process here. I want to have a situation much like we were able to do prior, and have that kind of you know, have your first draft plan. Don't put a lot of time, energy, and effort into actually calcing it.
Yeah, right.
No. But putting your plan together, and then let everybody, you know, yell, scream, holler, pull, you know, all those kinds of things, and then get to the next level of the plan, and then ultimately with one where everybody's not yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're hearing where we're coming from, and let's not do what we've always done in the past. Let's not let this opportunity slip by us, where we've changed our assessment process. The one key here, and I said it at the very beginning, and I'm going to have to bring it back, even though we're going to look at all of these different issues in this standard setting process, we cannot forget that there has to be one accountability issue in there that's not really flexible, and that's really academic performance. Okay, and how we define that, we have room in our standard process to work how that is, but it has to be, it still has to be the core, and it still has to be supported through the process. Okay, don't ever forget that one, because why have an accountability system that if I win a state championship in basketball, and then I also get one in lacrosse, and I also get one in girls basketball, that makes me an A school, and yet I can't get a kid that scores above 40 percentile on the state assessment. We can't have that kind of thing.
But see, for me, that's where I'd like, if you break down each of those components, and I can be provided the mean score, the mode and the median, and the range they're in, I can tell you from kind of a gut feel where I think an average school ought to be performing right now based upon that range and where those things are. That way we can mitigate for those that are way up high that are causing the average to go really high. We can get a feel that says, well, I have a pretty good feel in my mind where I think the average high school ought to be graduating students at.
Where the standard should be set, right. Not necessarily where the average should be, what the standard should
be. But knowing the average, right, without breaking that down, will tell me where we're at. Mm-hmm. You want to put the standard so everybody has to push a little bit, but the standard can't be so, where we want to be 20 years from now may not be where the standard is right now, because you've got to move the system incrementally.
Well, when we have almost 50% of our kids not scoring at a 50% proficiency rate, we got a lot of work to do.
Mr. President, I think we've got some good direction. Do you all have any other further questions for the committee? And is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? Mr. President, potentially, if it's since we have a majority of the committee still here, I think it would be our intention to potentially have another meeting at the end of October, maybe consistent with the next board meeting. Let JD and Tim check their calendars to see if they could stay late next time.
I will not be here at the next board meeting.
Okay.
My college is going through an accreditation process.
Well, so then you need to be there.
We're being held accountable.
I will circulate with the rest of the committee to make sure we can have a quorum. But I think what I would like to propose to members of the committee is that at an October meeting, we could present the potential legislation that could be brought to the legislature, and also any with that legislation, I think it'll give the flexibility for the department to continue their work on what a policy proposal might look like. And I don't want to commit them to anything. 4 weeks is a quick amount of time, but I think if we have another meeting to kind of bless what the legislation looks like, then the department and I can work together on a timeline of when we might be able to have some stakeholder meetings and maybe an additional meeting to present some initial proposals to this committee. Is that sufficient?
Yeah, just make sure I get my white paper. Or we all
and the
get
white
it.
Paper.
We mm-hmm. all get the white paper.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for listening to us babble and babble and babble up here. We appreciate your time, energy, and support. This meeting is now adjourned.